And we'll continue reading to verse 18. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure no one pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. And this is the text today. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It's as far as we'll read. As we were coming up to this service this past week, I was out behind my home reflecting on what to talk about and praying about what to talk about. And I heard this familiar low buzz in the sky. It's familiar because I hear it go by every now and again. And it was the air ambulance, the orange air ambulance. And it was heading that way, probably to Concardon Hospital. And as I sometimes do, I stopped for a moment and I prayed to God to be with the crew aboard that ambulance, because they are on their way to an emergency, to a life-threatening situation. And I prayed for the people at Concardon Hospital, assuming that that's where it was going, of course, that as they prepared a patient for travel, and as they realize once again that they don't have the resources to handle whatever that patient's problem is, that they need to rely on that transportation so that this patient can survive, be it an illness or be it an accident. I prayed, of course, for the patient as well, that God would be with that person in that time of stress and crisis, and that through the time of stress and crisis, that someone or somebody or even God himself would enter into that situation to help that person survive. And I also prayed for the person's family, assuming, of course, again, that he or she has a family, that the family would come alongside and that the family would be nearby as this person was being transported to hospital. And as I finished my prayer, I looked into the sky and this helicopter was pretty much out of sight by that time. I began to wonder what this family's, if indeed there was a family involved, what this family's Thanksgiving was going to be like. I imagined that there would be a time, probably earlier in the week, where people were looking forward to the upcoming weekend, much like many of us are today, where they're looking forward to getting together with family and maybe some friends, where they're looking forward to enjoying time outside of their regular schedules to come together and maybe have a great big meal together and just enjoy their times in a warmer home. And I thought how that has just changed for that family. And we've heard a couple instances today too where during the prayer where things in a second can change. And things in a second can all of a sudden this warm, fuzzy feeling that we were going to have on Thanksgiving weekend turns into a time in a hospital two and a half, maybe 3 hours away, sitting at the bedside of a loved one, maybe in ICU. We don't know, of course. but in an instant things can change. And then I wondered, what does Thanksgiving look like? Because Thanksgiving would really not look that great for that person now, would it? Or for that family. I talked to Anthony this morning. Okay? The family's here, which is beautiful. But Anthony's pretty sore, as he should be. And he's thinking about things and he's itching to get out to the barn and all this kind of stuff. His Thanksgiving has just changed. He's got a great outlook, and he's got great determination, but his Thanksgiving has just changed in a second. Think about Dwayne, Jamie's brother. Thanksgiving's just changed in a second. So, and the Apostle Paul tells us today that in all circumstances, and to give thanks, and rejoice always, and to pray continually. I don't know. Even when it hurts, we just heard testimony from Martin Rinkert how he buried 4,000 and change people. Oh my goodness, I can't even imagine. 50 in a day. The emotional toll that that would take on a body, on a person, to have that many deaths. Would you grow callous and cold? Maybe you would. I don't know. But to think of that, and yet he writes this song, "Now thank we all our God." In the text today, Paul is writing to the church in Thessalonica. And the church in Thessalonica has had some problems. Pretty much, there's people that are grumbling against the church. There's an undercurrent of negativity that's happening in the church. And some of it's bubbling up to the top. And Paul realizes this. And so he writes his letter, as he does often. That's the only reason why Paul really writes letters, is because there's a problem with the church somewhere. And so he writes his letter to address this undercurrent of negativity. And Paul, in this text, tells the people how to get along. So encourage each other and help the weak, and or encourage the disheartened and help the weak. And admonish, too. Correct those who are doing wrong. That's how you get along together. And then Paul moves on to this point. Rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances. This isn't how to get along with one another. When Paul's talking about this, when Paul addresses the people, he's not saying you, as in you or you, he's saying, or me, he's saying you all. It's you plural. And he's saying, pray continually, rejoice always, give thanks in all circumstances. You all, to whom? To whom? I think that this is the biggest thing. Because this, you give thanks, of course, to God. That's what Paul's talking about. He's talking about giving thanks to the Lord, to pray to the Lord, to rejoice in the Lord. Why? Well, first of all, he says it because he says it's God's will for you in your life. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So if you're ever looking for what's God's will for me, that type of thing, if you're ever asking yourself that, you can go right to this verse because it'll tell you. Rejoice always. Pray continually. They give thanks in all circumstances. Point is, folks, is that when we all, even here today and beyond here, do these three things always, it's an always type of thing. And when we do these things, we are pointing directly to God. We are pointing directly to our Lord, which is huge for us. Because then we are saying that it's beyond us. that our condition, whatever's going on in our lives, is really beyond us. It's not about you. It's not about Martin Rinkert's situation where he had to bury so many people because of the plague that was going on in just outside of his home. It's not outside of the scope of the person who's on that air ambulance on his way back. It's bigger than that. It's we put our trust in the Lord. It's that we put our full and we rely on Him. Even when we don't feel like giving thanks, even when we don't feel like rejoicing, even when we don't feel like praying, even, we rely on God. Because God is this anchor, this rock that holds, that we can hold on to when the stuff of life hits us big time. I remember some years ago we had a Thanksgiving that, well, you know what, I really don't remember that Thanksgiving. But I remember that whole month of October being a blur. 26 years ago, Karen was out of commission for a month. Some of you know this story. She had a tumor in her body, in her abdomen, that was pumping poison through her body. Poison to the amount, to the fact that every time it would activate, it would make her blood pressure skyrocket dangerously hard. She was in need of surgery. Months of debate about what was wrong with her went on before they finally figured out that it was this tumor. Then we, as a young family, decided that she should go to London. We were living near Owen Sound. That she should go to London for treatment, which was the right call, by the way. But it meant a month of her being in that hospital. A month away from our 3-year-old and our 1-year, or soon-to-be 4-year-old and our soon-to-be 1-year-old, both of whom Karen missed their birthdays. Karen missed Thanksgiving. I missed Thanksgiving. I don't even remember it that year. It's all a blur. All I know is that October, for me, was a dark, dark time. And now maybe you're in a dark time, too, today. Maybe you're in a place where you don't feel like praising God. Maybe you're here because your parents dragged you here today. Maybe you're here because this is what you do on Sunday. Maybe you're here because you don't really know why. You just don't know. But rest assured that the junk of life pales in comparison to the grace and the glory that our God receives and gives back to us. Really, He gives back to us so much grace, so much, He gives us so much with His stuff, with all of it. And if we actually take a minute to think about it, there's no reason in this world why we would not give thanks always, why we would not rejoice always, why we would not pray always to our God, because He is so great. Because He is. Life has a way of making us think about our priorities. And you'll know as well as I know that when it comes down to it, every now and then we need that shake-up. What's the priority in life? And I trust and I hope that as you leave here today, you will be praying continually. Because I can interchange these things. Praying continually. Rejoicing always and giving thanks in all circumstances. Why? Because this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's pray to God. Father, as we think about our stuff, our struggles, our pain, injuries, family, issues, struggles, help us, Lord, to see that you are greater and above all of it. Help us to see that you are so much more than any of it. And help us to rely upon you for that. For all things, Lord. Because you are so great for us. Thank you for laughter as well. In Jesus' name, amen.